2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In this verse, we have very clear reference to that which took place in the church at Corinth. At the beginning, I read a part of the scripture, which was Paul's visit to Corinth. And you can well imagine, if you went to a city like that and preached and had prayed regarding the people in that city, that you might get together and say, well, let's pray for a key soul, a person that will be a key, an open doorway, perhaps to many more. And the astounding thing regarding Corinth is that the chief person in the synagogue, Crispus, and his whole family are converted. And I should imagine that that would have caused quite a stir amongst the Jews and also amongst the people in Corinth itself. And Paul now is writing to that church. Many of those people, he knows them. He led them to the Lord. He was there for 18 months, so he knows them quite well, and probably has led many of other members of the family to the Lord as well. He knows them, and they also know him. And Paul is writing to them. And there had been some trouble. And trouble was that there had been false apostles, people pretending that they were gospel preachers, and coming along and bringing some of their own ideas into the preaching, often very serious error, and bringing distress to the churches, but claiming great things. They're claiming exaggerated things. They always had a whole list of things when they talked about their own achievements. And they would distress the churches. So the churches became cautious. And before any person would come along now, they would desire some kind of letter of commendation. Who are these people? Where have they come from? Which church sent them? Was it a church according to the way that we know in our teaching about Jesus Christ? Or has it gone some strange way? They would like a letter of commendation, which would be quite a natural thing. When Paul writes to them, he says, well, I haven't got a letter of commendation. There is no way, he said, that I'm able to say that I have a letter, and yet do I need one? Now, if I may read, for example, in 2 verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. You know me, he said. You know me for a long time amongst you. And in the sight of God, we speak, we in Christ, that we are known amongst you, we've led you to the Lord, and our commendation amongst you are living things. They are living testimonies. You are written in our hearts, and there is grace written in your hearts. Do we need any other testimony? Do we need anything more than that? Surely our recommendation is the work God has done amongst you through us and written in our own hearts as well as your own. We are no strangers. And the message that I have, the beginning in 1 Corinthians 2:1, remember he said, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So in reply to all these people and the requirement of a commendation, which was a wise thing to do, he said, hardly do I need one, because I know you, you know me, and also you are like epistles. Here it says in verse 2, you are our epistle. You are like letters written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It's as if you were open letters and people can see that you are manifestly the children of God. And by God's grace, I've had a part in that. So that is my recommendation. Now that's how he brings himself to the notice of the people there. Now it's an interesting picture. The reason why he brought it is an interesting one. But apart from that, that is background knowledge there, it is also a very interesting picture here. The thoughts of us being letters, testimonials, But everyone here today that has faith in Jesus Christ is a kind of a testimonial, an epistle, and a very special letter. So I'd like us to look at that first of all. And the little heading I have is the credentials. Well, his credentials were the Christians there, and certainly they were written in his heart. They were living testimonies. And just to remind you of the background to it all, it was when the apostle was preaching in Corinth, and I'll read you the verses again, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now that's a story. If somebody should say to Paul, what happened in Corinth? What is a story that you have to relate to? This is a very exciting one. When I preached there, the ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, was converted, and all the family. And people be absolutely astonished and say, can ever such a thing be? Yes, the ruler of the synagogue, he was converted, and every member of his family. And he stayed there quite a while, but he also had a very special vision there. He'd never forget Corinth. Do you remember in verse 9, he has a vision. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Now, you can see from the words that follow afterwards, there must have been a little anxiety in his heart. I think so too, because in the way that he says, well, do I need a recommendation? There's some anxiety there. Will they receive his letter? Will they listen to his advice? There's some apprehension there. And it was the same when he was in Corinth itself. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid. Now, fear can come to our hearts. Different reasons, different situations. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now don't let's imagine for a moment that Paul was a timid man. He was not a strong man, I'm sure, in many ways, but strong as far as his character and tenacity were concerned. And he was willing to suffer many things. Many a time he had been lashed and whipped from a Roman whipping. And that he would take this and without complaint. He was a brave man. And yet there must have been anxiety at that time in his heart. And he's told these words, well, don't be afraid, because God is with thee. Don't keep silent, but speak the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have much people in this city. And sometimes I feel it would be a lovely thing. I know in many of the churches, I'm thinking now of the Welsh churches, I suppose, that I'm used to, there would be a wall here and a little organ on the side, unless in a big city church, it would be a town church, it would be different. And there would be a verse written across there. Many beautiful verses. In my home church, it was Deo Cariad Eu, God is love. Another is holiness is befitting to thy house. And such verses as that. And sometimes I think maybe we should have a reminder. I have much people. I have many people in this city yet. That we might be reminded to pray. And that we might be reminded of the great purpose that we have of winning men and women to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that their immortal souls might be saved. Well, he was there, and with this conviction that he was staying there because God still had in Corinth many people yet not found, but would be found, and God's irresistible grace would find them, and by the preaching of the word, they would come from darkness into light. He knew that because God told him in a vision. He had been Corinth. And so when he's writing to them now, he's saying, do you realize, he's saying, I would commend you asking for recommendations in a day of wandering preachers, of strange apostles who are no preachers or apostles at all. In such a day, you need some kind of credential for a person. But do I need, he said, are you not my testimonials? You who have been saved in Corinth, you are living epistles written in my heart, and they are read and known of all men. That's the first point. The second one is the covenant. The credential is described. In verse 3, we have a very colourful picture here. For us, ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but of the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. So two things to begin with. Not in ink, not with ink, and not in tables of stone, but written with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, and written on our hearts. Let's look at that for a moment. Not in ink, and not on stone. He said, I'm talking about the gospel, he said, and a relationship with God, and talking about everlasting life, and the hope of a person to go to heaven. You need more than ink, written on some paper, or some parchment, or stone. You need more than that. And yet men will try like that. By that, I would give an illustration like this, that how many efforts are there amongst men where they say, well, I will work out my own faith, I work out my own religion, or by my own good works. They are writing in ink. As you were saying, what are your qualifications? And you say, well, just a moment, I'll give you my qualifications. And they take a pen and ink, and they begin to write all their good points, all their virtues, all their good works, all their qualifications in their estimation, how good they are, how wonderful they are, how patient and how loyal, and so on. And they write these, and the answer is this. Those things are not written in your heart. They are cold. You might as well say they are written in stone. They're not written in your heart. Not with ink. There must be a stronger pen and something far greater than ink. And it must be written somewhere else and written in your hearts. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Now, where does the story begin? The work of grace in our hearts, and some may be thinking tonight, well, I'm here, I'm not used to this kind of service, but I'm here tonight. And for half an hour or 20 minutes or so, there is an opportunity to hear the word of God. But there is more than that. Because in our faith, we believe that the gospel is preached not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit as well. And so that we are talking now of the activity of the third person of the Trinity. He is also God, God the Spirit. And he doesn't take an ordinary pen, but he approaches a soul and begins to write the story of grace. Pen is a sharp thing. It hurts. And the pen of God's grace goes deep into our hearts as well. It's written in the fleshy tables of our hearts, deep within us. And what is he writing there? He's writing a great story. A story that will take you, that you needn't say in this story, here is the end of the story. He begins a story in our lives that will continue forever. A work of grace. Now you're there. A work of grace. It is the pen of the Holy Spirit. Where does he begin then? He begins by showing us our need. It takes an awful long time to see our need. That of our own, that we would never make it. And so deep in our heart, he tells the spirit or the soul of a person, you will never make it on your own. You need God. You need the grace of God. And that is a very disturbing thing and can have all sorts of reactions within us. We need the grace of God. So that is the first sentence he writes. And then we might say, well, why do I need the grace of God? And he'll say, well, haven't you known this? And I'll write this for your information, that you are a sinner by nature. You're sinful by nature. You're born a sinner. You're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by choice. And that is the story of your life. And then we argue and say, we're not so bad. And then he says, but look at your heart and look at your motives. And when God does that, we begin to see ourselves. Not when men do it, but when God does it, we become restless and we know that we are not worthy. And it goes deep. See, our Christian faith is not a surface thing. You see, we can so abuse our faith by just saying, ah, it's just a kind of religion where people do a good thing, like go to chapel on Sunday, and they're nice to one another, a kind of a pleasant, easygoing thing. It's a thing that deals with our hearts, and with our sin, and with our need. We must not write with ink. on some stone or piece of paper. We must not write like that. It must be the ink and the pen of the Holy Spirit written deep in our being, deep in the very heart of our existence, in our soul and in our spirit, so that it becomes a very deep and a profound experience. But there could be another reference here. Tables of stone. There is a reminder here. What are these tables of stone? They would know. The Jews would know. But then he could enlighten the Gentiles. And a long time ago, that God gave to the children of Israel what would please him. And he said, this is what will please me. And he gave 10 commandments. Half of them referring to God, and half of them referring to our relationship with one another. The burden of the commandments are given very briefly by Jesus Christ, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul. In the 10 commandments, there are a series of negatives there. I have no other God beside me, and so on, as well as positive things. But here, the sum total of it is to love God with a pure love and love him with all our heart. And then our attitude to our neighbour is that we have to love him as ourselves. Those were written in tables of stone. And men try on the little stony hearts of their own sometimes to write a little story that they are fulfilling those things. The Holy Spirit goes on. He says, I haven't finished. The law of God is that. Let me write it in your heart. Not on stone this time, but in your heart. Let me write it that you must love God perfectly. That you must love your neighbour as yourself. Let that go into your understanding. Then suddenly we say, well, may I interrupt you, Holy Spirit? I can't love God. And I can't love my neighbour as myself. And we are beginning to understand. Is there any more that you can write? Yes, I can write more, he says. I can write to you now the story of grace. It is about the Son of God. Go on writing. Give me all the details deep in my heart. And so he tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, surely there it is in the depth of our being that we begin to recognize and realize that he is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he did a great thing on this earth. He made it possible for us to be children of God. What did he do, we might ask? Well, he lived a perfect life. That is, he loved God with all his heart, loved his neighbor as himself in our place. What about our failure? And there the cross comes in. And he died on the cross and settled a debt and paid a punishment for our failure. That's the heart of it. You might say, well, is that the story? Yes, that is the story. And where do you write it? In your hearts. In our heart, our heart, and your heart, that true religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. I must understand it with my mind, and it must be written also in my heart. What must be written? That Jesus Christ alone can save and forgive a sinner and put him right in the sight of God. He does this by living a life of righteousness and giving us that righteousness and dying for our unrighteousness and paying the penalty. That's it really. And so when our faith is in him, then that is written in our hearts. It is a covenant. It is a covenant. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah put it like this. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. He's saying there way back in the Old Testament, there will be a time, it will be like this, that the law of God will be written in men's heart. What will be written? That we fail. What else? That Christ fulfills and pays our penalty. Is there more? Yes, he also writes his law in our heart. Now, by God's grace, we can love him and love our neighbor. He writes that in our hearts. It is a living thing. May I go over it carefully? The first thing that's written in our hearts, that we are failures. It's a hard word, but we have to see it. The first thing that's written, we are failures and we cannot please God. We might write as much as we like with the ink of self-righteousness, but we are failures. The second thing he writes is that Jesus Christ is not a failure. He is a success. And he is a glorious success. He clears our debts and he fulfills the requirements of God for us. He does that and we receive that by faith. And the third thing he writes, now that you are the children of God, I don't need to write the Ten Commandments on stone. I can write them in the fleshy tables of your heart. If you want to know how a saved person lives, it is like this. Love God. Love your neighbor. It is a manifestation of a work of grace in your heart. And so the apostle says, what greater testimonial can there be in our heart or in your heart that you are living epistles? Now he goes a step further and he says that when men look at you, you are known and read. All of us here now who know the Lord, wherever we are, in whatever situation, if we claim to be the Lord, we have a great and a terrible responsibility because we are like open letters, a letter to be read. You know, in a newspaper sometimes, in the front page, you can have an open letter by somebody to people in general regarding some injustice, whatever it may be. We are like an open letter. We are to be read and we are to be known of all men. And we must see to it that when we are being read and known of all men, that we are unmistakably Christian. That we are living epistles, not some dead self-righteous thing written with ink and arguing about religion, but that we have a warm faith in our hearts, that we are living epistles known and read of all men. And lastly, the confession. There must be a moment when that happens. He surely was reminding them of it. Crispus might have been listening to that letter, and he would remember the day when he came to the Lord, he and his family. And there would be many others as well, and many others that would fulfill the lovely promise, I have yet many people in the city. And they would be very excited about it and say, yes, he has written a story in our heart as well, and we are in his heart. There is a moment that is vital in the Christian faith. It is so easy in a nominal Christian country to believe that all I have to do to put things right is to change my lifestyle and go to chapel on Sunday. And that will then conform to Christianity. I'll be as decent as I can in the week, and I'll also go to chapel on Sunday. It's a commendable thing to do, but it's not Christianity. The Christian faith is a heart relationship with God. And it's written so deep in the fleshy tables of our hearts that it can never, ever be erased. It is a work of grace. Manifestly declared with our minds, we understand that through Christ alone and his sacrifice, we are forgiven. And through faith in him, with our minds, we can understand that. Or hymns, my bliss, or the bliss of this, my sin, or the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to his cross. Past, present, future sins. We can understand with our minds that that is true. But we need more than that. I was reading recently in a book which reminded me of a few others as well, where they had a strange kind of custom in the period of revivals in New England and those parts in the 18th century. A great deal has been written about them. And they would have two kinds of membership. Strange. I have found it very convicting. The first kind was the person who had made a confession of faith. And there was a genuine experience of the grace of God. And they truly believed. And that you could tell that they were unmistakably Christian. They would be in the services, they would be living witnesses. I'm not saying there were no failures, I'm saying that that would be a general picture, men and women of grace. They had another kind, which is a puzzling one. A people who would say that they acknowledged it with their mind. And they had some privileges of membership, but not all. Their hearts were not inclined towards God, but neither did they want to go all the way with the world. Yet they wanted to go part of the way with the world, and yet keep their hand in with God. It was a strange thing. But doesn't it say a great deal? Is it not when a person is writing with ink and trying to convince himself, that kind of thing, whether it should be regarded as any kind of membership or not, I don't know. I would think, in my opinion, that it was a very confusing thing to do. But no doubt they had clear terms of reference in those days as well. Now then, it is a dangerous thing. But you can have it where we can say, well, yes, I think it's a good thing to go to chapel. We'll go there. And we'll make our appearance on the Lord's Day. And we will be supportive. Surely that is a good thing. Yes, but it's not enough. Give me, says the proverb, book of Proverbs, my son, give me your heart. Of course he doesn't bypass our minds. Of course he doesn't do that. He speaks to our understanding. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so he gives us a gospel that puts it out clearly. I can put it like this to you. Think of buying a house. And here is a contract. And the terms of reference are clear. This is a price. These are the conditions. And here is the contract that God gives. But it's a one-sided one because he is God. And he says, this is a price for your sin, the death of my son. Or you pay yourself in hell. But this is what I'm willing to do for you. And if you can come to that place where you sign not with ink, but with your hearts, then with your God, that's the day when we exchange contracts, where you give me your hearts, and I give you my word, where you give me your all, and I give you the glory of heaven, the exchange of contracts. It is a wonderful day. It involves the mind and the heart, our understanding and the seat of our emotions, until ultimately it comes to that place and we say, O Holy Spirit, write not with ink, but write in my heart that God can say of me, mine, mine, mine. And I can say of God, mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. A great spiritual event. Have you signed the contract? In any contract as well, there is in the business of houses what they call the completion date. And that is the day that you will have the key and will be allowed entry into the new abode. And you're able to do that only because the contracts have been exchanged. It is similar. We also have a completion date. We do not know when that date will be. But if we have signed the contract, and if we are able to say, he's written in the fleshy tables of my heart, not with ink, but with grace, then we're able to say, when my completion date comes, I have the key to heaven itself. It's already as sure as can be. Why are you sure? Once the contract is exchanged, it is sure, and the completion date will follow. Once we are able to say, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God, we can be well assured that when God, he decides the date of your abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Living things. In our minds, in our hearts, and where our will can do nothing else but come to him and believe in him. He's saying, this work is written in your heart, it's written in our hearts. You're living things. You're known and read of all men. And we belong to one another in that way. That is our story. What is your story? Is there a story of grace in your hearts? If there is a story of grace in your heart, it becomes a song, a melody of grace, a living thing, a beautiful thing. Our very soul sings at the thought of him. His name is precious to us because we belong to him. Listen to the verses again. You are our epistle written in our hearts. You are our testimonials. You're written in our hearts. Because there is a thing, there is also an understanding and a work of grace in your heart, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the letter, the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, we had a part, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. May God grant that we too shall be epistles of Christ. Let us pray.